It's really amazing to see all of you this morning, and everyone looks so bright and hopeful and full of joy, especially you, Carla, since you're looking at me like that. Yeah, it's really good to have you all here, and I just love coming together as a body. I love the house of the Lord. I love it when we come together and we can celebrate who God is. I mean, that's who he's made us to be, you know. We can celebrate him all day long, and often when I come to church, I just experience the love of Christ so, I don't want to say tangibly, but so in everything, let me say it like that. Because this morning at intercession, I mean, we know that we're having this series of commissioned by the King, and we've been advertising it and so on. But from intercession to the offering, to the songs, to the words, God is speaking the same thing. It's almost like I don't have to preach this morning because God already said what he wanted to say. So he's actually saying to us this morning, listen, because this is the word that I have for you. You know, I'm not confused. I'm not going to tell this person that and that one that. And you come here and you don't really know what's going on. No, I'm a God who cares for you and love for you. And I have the same word all throughout this day. And it's for you. And I'm excited about you. Church, I'm excited about you. I have a special plan for you. You know what? I died for you and I love you so much, and now you can run. Now you can do this. You excited about that? Do I look excited about that? Because I am. It's like inside of me. Or it's just nerves. I'm not sure. But anyways. Okay. Today, we're continuing with Commissioned by the King. Mona spoke about coming from a place of rest. So we're not doing anything out of our own strength, trying to do it on our own. No. We come from a place of rest, knowing who our God is. We're not going to strive to do anything. We're going to come from a place of rest, of peace, and from there on we go. Today, I'm going to take a different angle, and I want us to start to look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. Ish, I hope you can see that. If you don't, just listen. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unpleasable, peaceable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. It's not the kind of verse that you want to hear first thing in the morning, right? Because when I read this verse, I can so identify with some of the things in there. Lovers of pleasure. Woohoo! I don't know who else here loves pleasure, you know, rather than God. Being self-focused. I don't know about you, but our natural sinful nature is to be selfish and self-centered. Maybe I'm only the only one here this morning. I'm not? Great. I feel better. Okay? That is who we are. We always want to look at us first. But what I like about this, it says that they have a form, appearance of godliness. This thing is making a bit of noises here. They have a form, appearance of godliness, but denying its power. That sounds like me, like most of my life. I'm a pretty Christian, but there's no power. I want to ask you this morning, do you want to have that power? Do you want to be that Christian that walk? It is not just pretending or just having the face of a Christian or just saying that I am a Christian, but I'm living in the power of it. Anyone like that? Great. Thanks, Jerusha. That's me. I don't want to be a normal person. God has not created me to be a normal person. So I assume the next question would be like, what is that power? What power are they speaking about here? The power of the gospel. Do you know what the power is behind the gospel? We heard it all morning, so you should know by now, but I'll tell you anyways. The power of the gospel is love. Think about it. What other religion... love is like the main thing. And I'm not talking about woohoo, love. I'm talking about a God who gave everything for us because he loves us. What other religion is there where there's a God who did that, who loves the people so, so much that he will do anything for them? Would you agree that love is the power of the gospel message? And what does the word say? Not only love that God has for us, but I'm going to show you this morning, love that we have for the Father and love that we have for others. Okay? So last week we were at intercession, and I just love intercession because God directs us where to go there. He speaks to us. He's interested in our church. He wants to know where we are going. He wants to lead us. He wants to say, listen, yeah, I want to tell you my heart, and I want you to align with my heart. And in that way, just proclaim. Just proclaim, you know, what I'm saying to you. Just move with me. Ah, oh, that's just like, ah, oh, lekker, you know. Afrikaans, that's nice. Good. Don't have a lekker word in English. Awesome. Awesome, great. Okay, that's great. Thank you. I'm off my story. Anyway, so, at intercession, I felt the Lord ask me this question, and he said, if you could pray anything over your church, for anything in your church, you know, what would you pray for? Now, I don't know what's the things that's coming up in your mind. I can't remember my first answer, but it was wrong. Okay, then I gave another answer, and the answer was revival. Don't you all like revival? Woohoo! Everyone's coming in! Hallelujah! People are getting slain in the spirit, and yes, I want that, definitely, but that was also not the right answer. And then my third answer, let's say third time lucky, but we shouldn't say that in church. So my third answer was, oh, to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my understanding, and to love my neighbor as myself. And when I said it, I was like, imagine that is what we have as a church. Imagine that is what we are known for. To love the Lord our God with everything. Imagine. You walk into this church and you see a people who is in love with their Savior. You see a people who is in love with the people around them. Don't you want that? Don't you want that people to be that people who is that person who is in love with God with everything? Who are those people who are in love with, well, not in love, you don't have to be in love with everyone, sorry, but who loves everyone. And not a fake love. A real love. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about today. What is that real love? If we speak about loving our Father, loving our Savior, what does that really look like? I think I've told you many times that when I arrived in Durban like a year and a half or so ago, I walked these streets and I told the Lord, I don't know if I really love you. I've been a Christian all my life and I love church, I really do. But I don't know if I love you. So I had to go on this journey, like, what does it really mean to love God? Well, thank you, Lord, for your word and your truth. For when we have questions, we can go to the Word, and it will provide the answer. So I'm going to read you a few scriptures, and then you should get the answer from there, but then we'll talk about that. John 14:21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest, myself to him. John 14:23-24. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Now, I must be honest, the first time when I hear this, I think, yo, now I have to work again. You know? God says I must keep his commandments, and that way I will love him. But I think we're looking at this the wrong way. Because what we first realize is that God loves us so much. He says in his word, he first loved us. Right? He first loved us. That's why we are called children of the Most High. So he says, if you love me, guess what? You will do what I tell you to do. Isn't it? It's not that complicated. But still we miss it. We get into this place where we're living something and we come to church, and please don't stop coming to church, and we lift up our hands and we sing and we love you, Lord, with all our hearts, but we walk out here and we go directly against the word of God. Does that betray our love to God? Let me share an example. There was a pastor who was married for a while, and then he decided he's going to divorce his wife just because he fell out of love with her. And for the next 3 months, he spent time with God, and he fell in love with God 10 times more, and eventually he went back to the other pastor, and he told him, he said, listen, I'm going to divorce my wife because I don't love her anymore. And the pastor said, oh, okay. He says, yes, I had the best 3 months of my life with the Lord. I was so in his presence. I so loved him. And the pastor was just, he couldn't understand it, because he said to him, you say the love of the Lord, but you go directly against his word. That is not love. You're either deceived or you're living in some other fantasy world. If we love God, we follow what he says. We live according to his word and his truth. That's what he says. By this, I will know that you love me if you do my commandments, if you follow my word. Let me give you another example. So last year, oh, it was a very interesting year. I don't know who of you had a good 2017. In the end, it was very good. I've grown so much. Is that the right English? And then the whole year, God was speaking to me about one specific word, and it was this. He says to me all the time, esteem others higher than yourself. Merichen, esteem others higher than yourself. And again, esteem others higher than yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but usually when God tells me that the first time, I'm like, I've got this, Lord. I'm pro at this. I esteem everyone higher than me. And he's like, wait, my daughter, I'm going to show you how that looks like. Let's show you what's really going on in your heart. How you're actually not esteeming others higher than yourself. So something happened, and I still didn't really do it. No, I still didn't do it. I shouldn't put really in there. I didn't do it. I didn't esteem others higher than myself. And then I went into this place where I was seeking the Lord, and I was fasting. I mean, it was 2 months or 3 months of this, and I was just seeking the Lord, and I was thinking I'm having the best times, and I'm really loving the Lord now. Until one day, he came and spoke to me softly again and said, esteem others higher than yourself. You can love me as much as you want to, but if you don't do this, you're not following my word and you don't love me. Yo, I can tell I was on the floor crying, repenting, and for the first time seeing what's going on in my heart, really. Wow, how often do I judge people? How often do I think that I'm better than the person next to me in the street, even in the church, my family? I think I know this. I've got this. The Lord said, you can show me you love me by esteeming others higher than yourself, because that's what my word says. And at first you would think, wow, but yo, that's a bit tough, Lord. But imagine I start doing that. How would people change? Not only will the Lord know that I love him, but people will. I will not treat someone the same if I think I'm better than them. I will treat them much differently. And if you think I'm just making up all these things, there's a very good example about this in the Bible. I don't know who of you knows David. Okay, so he's the shepherd boy. He kills Goliath. He's just great. He sings many songs of God about how he loves him. I mean, there's feeling in those songs. We also sing some of those songs. How he loves God. He has intimate relationship with God. But then, go read Psalm 119. Take a few minutes because it's a long one. But go read it and just see what he writes there. I'm going to read you just a few verses from there. from verse 16. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold your wondrous things out of your law. I'm a on the earth, hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules all the time. What? What is David saying? He's like, Lord, I want to keep your commandments. Show it to me. I love you so much, Lord. What else can I do? Where have I gone wrong? How can I follow you? Do you see that? Do you know, after David had sinned and he killed the guy, I can't remember his name, and he slept with Bathsheba, thank you, it's great to have people here. And then when Nathan came to him and said to him, what have you done? Do you know that he didn't go like, oh, but she did this, and oh no, but I had to do this. The first thing he did was like, I'm a sinner, I have sinned before God. Immediately, he knew that he was wrong. He wasn't trying to cover it or anything like that. He wants to follow God's rules because he loves him. Guys, if we can be people who do what the word says as it directs us, I think we'll be much different than the world. We won't just be people anymore. We'll be like, you know what? I want to do what the word says because I love my God. If God says sexual immorality has to go, then it has to go. If God says don't lie, then don't lie. Now don't sit here and be like, oh, it's too much for me. I cannot do everything in the word. No one of us can. Okay? But God will speak to you about a specific thing like he did with me. Esteeming others. Maybe he's saying something else to you this morning. My child, I want you to do this. You know what? We see in part. I think like, oh, yeah, I have to work on this. Meantime, God's like, you'd have no idea how many people's lives I want to touch through you because you're going to be obedient to my word. And isn't that why we're alive? To see God's kingdom come? Isn't that like why we're speaking about commissioned by the king? Because we want to see the world see this great king who we are adoring. Amen? Now, let's get to the second part of this message. God says, well, let me read the scripture, otherwise I will just confuse you guys. 1 John 4 verse 20 says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Okay, so for long I never understood that scripture. I was like, of course I love the Lord. I don't love everyone, but of course I love the Lord. How can you say that I'm a liar if I don't love the people next to me? But that's what the Lord says. If you don't keep my commandments, it means that you're not loving me. And what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God, but also to love your neighbor. In other words, if you don't love your neighbor, you're saying, Lord, I actually don't respect you and I don't love you. Whoa. Have you ever thought about it like that? But now the great news is God wants us to get this. He wants us to be a people who love, who loves, who have real love. Not about like, how can I love you? You look a bit like that, but you know, like that. That didn't make sense at all, but I'll explain it a bit now. Okay? He wants us to truly love. He wants us to be a people who love. Okay? Great. What I'm going to do is going to read you a few scriptures again about how it looks, what the word says, how we should love each other. And then I'm going to make it very practical for us this morning and highlight a few things about what we can think about, how we can work at this, how we can love each other, and allow the Holy Spirit to this morning come and touch in your heart. You know what? When we come to church, there might be a message, like a general message. But in the end, the Holy Spirit has a specific word for you. Yes, God speaks to us as a group of people, but he also has a word for each and every one of us because he cares and he loves us. Okay, first scripture is in John 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. John 15, verse 12 to 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Matthew 7, 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets is the commandments of the Lord. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, this Jesus said to his disciples just after he's washed their feet. The Messiah, the King, came and washed the dirty feet of the disciples. That was the work of the slave with the lowest, lowest slave, that one. And Jesus did it. He said, if I then, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Isn't that just precious? The Lord came, Jesus walked the earth. He didn't just say, this is my greatest commandment, go try your best, maybe you'll get there. No, he came to the earth and he said, can I demonstrate to you how to love? How you can love your brother, your sister? More than that, I'm going to demonstrate to you that I die for you. I give you my everything because I love you. Disciples, I'm going to wash your feet. Yes, I know. I am your master. I am the Messiah. Actually, I am the King of Kings. But this is who I am, and this is the love that I portray. That doesn't matter how dirty your feet are. And trust me, their feet were dirty. I said once in a sermon that I wouldn't even want to wash someone's feet now, these days. You know? How about those days where there was bad stuff. I won't go there. On their feet. But Jesus did it. And he said, I'm doing this so that you can go do the same. Hallelujah. That is what God has made us to be now. We have to learn how to love. Do you agree? If Jesus said, love like I do, Lord, I want to love like you do. Teach me. Show me. I want to see your kingdom come on this earth. I want other people to experience your love. I want other people to be set free. People are in bondage. People are in need. People are in pain. People are really suffering. But you know what? We have the answer. We know Jesus. We know someone who loves without, you know, wanting us to do anything. He said before anything, he died for us and he loved us. Okay, so practically, let's look at the first thing that we can learn how to love. Practical steps in doing that. Sorry, it's not on the screen, but the first one is, learn to love without seeking an earthly reward. I put that one first because I believe in church, we do the love thing so that we'll be seen by someone. Maybe I'm the only one again. But many times we will do something or help someone or, you know, just say a nice word or whatever so that someone might think that I'm okay. I've got this. Wow, did you see Marichan help that person again? Amazing. What if we start loving people just because we can? Just because God loved us. Not because he wants someone to see us or to speak well about us, but because we can. What if we smile for someone we don't know if we're ever going to see them again in the streets? You know what? A smile can change someone's life. What if we don't so in tune with ourselves and how we look and where we're going, but see the people around us? Maybe someone just need to know today that there's someone that actually cares. Maybe there's someone that just need to know that there is actually something like love in this world. Incredible. We can be those people. We can have that love for our people. We can spread it all around without us thinking about ourselves. Okay? The second thing. Learn to freely love. So many times what we also do is we love someone because we know that they will love us back. Or Maybe we're in a relationship or a friendship or a churchship, whatever it is, and we're like, you know what, I've done so much for you, no, and I'm not getting anything in return. Do you sometimes feel like that? Maybe you don't say it, but you think it. I definitely do. Oh, I always have to do this for this and this and this person. You know, where the Lord said, freely I have received. Freely we have received from the Lord, now freely give. Why is it such an issue for us to love people? Because we get in the way. We're like, but what about me? I don't just want to love all the time. What if no one loves me? But God loves us. He does. And He wants us to share that. And this is the thing that we don't know, is if we start doing that, there's so much freedom in that. Like, we want to look at ourselves all the time. We want to cover ourselves, and it's all about me, and, oh, I have to go to this thing, and I'm so nervous about that, and what am I going to do here? And God says, open your eyes. I've got someone next to you who needs love more than you right now. And all of a sudden, you speak into that person's life. You move with the Holy Spirit. God does something, and you disappear, and you're like, this is actually quite great. This is not as bad as I thought it would be, but the enemy tells us lies that, what about you? Shame. You're never going to make it. You see, they again didn't greet you. What if you just greeted everyone? Instead of worrying what people are not doing to you, start doing to others. What is that scripture? Do unto others what you want them to do to you. Whoa, what do I want this morning? Ice cream. Lord, who can I buy ice cream for? Who else wants ice cream? Don't put up your hands all at once. Okay. Number three. Learn to love on purpose. Guess what? It's not going to start with a feeling. Carla, I love you so much. I'll do anything for you. No. How can I love Carla today? I'm going to go with it with purpose. I'm not going to wait until I feel like it. I'm not going to wait until it's fair that I love her. Yes, she did do the dishes today at home, so now I can love her. No. Did you do it, Carla? Okay, do it on purpose. Get up in the morning and say, who can I be a blessing to? But we wake up in the morning, Lord, bless me today. Bless me. It's all about me. No, who can I bless, Lord? Show me where can I go? Who can I speak into? Who can I love? You know what? There's some of us, someone here, your mom is in desperate need of love, but you're walking straight past her every day. Love. God wants us to love. Okay? With purpose. Janneke, I really do love you. Okay? What if we start saying things like that? And not just because it's a good thing to say, but because we do. Okay? Another one. Number four. Learn that love is the highest form of spiritual warfare. Whoa, this is nice. Huh? Who of you like spiritual warfare? I do. I love that the enemy has been defeated. Hallelujah. I love that God comes and set people free. He does. I've seen it many times in my life. People get set free like this from bondage. They get delivered. They get set free. At a stage when I was still in the Cape, we had this deliverance ministry. And an hour before we do the ministry, we would pray for that person walking in there. And I'm telling you what, I wasn't like having all the books read on spiritual warfare and deliverance and I'm ready for this. No, when we sat there, when people walked into that room, I was overwhelmed by the love of Christ for that person. And every person got set free. Not because I had all the tools, not because, you know, you must do it in this way or what. No, because Jesus loves them. Because Jesus loves them, I could love them. And I didn't see all the, you know, stuff. And I didn't come with my judgment and say, listen, but you should just sort out that and then you will get delivered. No, Jesus loves you, so I'm going to love you. And then the Holy Spirit comes and all of a sudden, He imparts so much to you because, why? Because He loves that person. And the moment you surrender and say, I also love this person, the Holy Spirit can work through you. But if it's just about me and judgment, He can't work through me. But if I stand here and I say, guys, I love you so much, I want you to get this, then the Holy Spirit can work. But I'm here and I'm like, look how good I look today, or whatever, then it's about me. Then the Holy Spirit cannot work. God wants to work through us. He wants to come and break things like we've never seen before. He's created us like that. And that's the next point. We need to learn that love is our calling. It's our calling in life. If you're praying, Lord, what is my calling? Yes, He has a specific purpose for you. But start by loving. He's given us that love. He says, I've freely given it to you. I've freely given it to you. You can go and love. My one friend called me this week, just like in tears, and she has to do this thing, and you know, and people are going to think this and this of her, and you know, and I also often do that. And then I was just a bit over it at that moment. Maybe we should sometimes get a bit over it. And I just said, what if you're there to love someone? And it's not just about what you are going to get out of it. Oh man, praise the Lord. Because immediately she was like, you're right. You're so right. I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to walk in there and be like, Lord, who can I bless? Who can I impart to? What can I give? Let this not be just about me. God has called us for those people. Imagine someone walks into this door and we fight about who's going to greet that person first. Huh? No, wait, no, I'm too cool. I'm just talking here now. You know, well, I saw them, but I'll talk to them later. Am I the only one again? There's someone in desperate need of a touch. There's someone in desperate need to have a hug, to know that they are loved, but we're so full of our stuff. You know what? If we let go, there's freedom, I'm telling you. There's freedom. And God is calling us as a people, as those people that love. You know what is our theme for this year as a shofar movement? Pastor Heinrich prayed last year, and the theme for this year is known for love. Known for love. Now, I know we have that somewhere in our heads that, yes, we are Christians, we love, we're amazing, but what if we actually start acting on it? Do you know what the word says? And I can't remember exactly where, but it says, do not love only in word, but in deed and in truth. Do not love only in word. I know if someone says to you they love you, but you know, say I say to Janneke, I love her, but tomorrow I'm gossiping about her behind her back, then I'm not loving in deed and in truth. Isn't it? But when I love, I must love in deed and in truth. When I say it, I mean it. You know, when I say it, I act like it. Janneke, I'll give you a hug afterwards and you have it. Okay. So don't only words, but act, deeds, and truth. God is calling us to those people, to be those people. And if you're here and you're like, oh, this is too much for me. How can I do this? I'll never make it. I'm going to walk out here. I'm going to greet the first person. They're not going to greet me back. And then I'm like, ah, this is not working. There's hope. The thing is, we don't love to get response. We love because we have love, because we've been loved. And we are enabled, get this, we are enabled to love because of the Holy Spirit who is in us. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Yo, I feel much better then. I don't have to do this on my own. I don't have to try so hard, but I can allow the Spirit to work through me. I can allow and say and ask, Holy Spirit, help me to love. Holy Spirit, help me to love. I've prayed that prayer. It works. Maybe it's just thinking of someone right now. It's just like difficult to love that person. Holy Spirit, help me to love. Help me to love. Okay, let me see if there's another point before I let you off the hook. Maybe I'll just end off with the story. Learn to love by seeing the good in other people. So sometimes it's really difficult for us to love because of what people have done to us, and because there is hurt and there is rejection and all of those things. But what if we, instead of look at all of those things, ask the Lord to reveal to us, to show us who that person really is, to show us who God has created that person to be, to ask the Holy Spirit to come and do the work. Because most of the time, yes, our eyes are full of judgment and hurt and rejection and pain. So it's very difficult for us to get to that place. But what if I look at Pam and I said, Lord, show me who you've created Pam to be. Show me who Pam really is. Do you think I'm going to be able to look at her the same way? No, definitely not. No matter the pain, no matter the rejection, there's something going to be in me be able to love her. Okay, now I'm not saying sell your house, give her everything, as the Holy Spirit leads you to love her. Okay, great. Let's close our eyes. Father God, we thank you this morning for who you are and that you are truly a great God. Father, you never come to hit us with a stick, Lord. You never come to tell us how bad we are, Father. But you're a loving Father who has good gifts for your children. And Father, thank you, Lord, this morning that you have good gifts for us. Lord, that you are excited about us, Lord, being able to love, and that you more than anything else want to help us to be able to love. Lord, we cannot bear this on our own. We cannot do this on our own. We've not been created to do this on our own. So we thank you, Lord, this morning that you've given us your Holy Spirit, who comes, Lord, and fills us with your love, as Romans 5:5 says. Father, and thank you, Lord, that we can pray that over and over again, Lord, that your Spirit will come and impart your love in us, to love you, Father, and also to love people around us. Father, we say we don't want to be a normal church, Lord. We don't want a normal people. We don't want to be represent like holiness, but don't have its power, Father. What you see is what you get, Father. We want to be people like that. So thank you for your word this morning, Father. We say we receive it, Lord, and we thank you that you enable us to do it, Lord. Not only hear, not only be hearers of the word, but doers, as James said, Father. So we thank you for that.